This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's get going with some headlines. Well, a very clean list of injuries in the National Football League. Only three players of the four teams playing on Sunday are listed on the injury report. The only starter that's going to miss is going to be Ben Watson. It looks like he's going to be out. He's technically listed as questionable. We've got an appendicitis, so it looks like he's not going to be able to go. But as healthy as I've ever seen a championship series coming up here, so that's going to be good. And, of course, you've got four of the highest scoring teams in football out there on the field. That's going to be fascinating. So lots of fun things to look forward to in this game coming up with, one in the AFC with the Kansas City Chiefs hosting the New England Patriots. The Patriots, by the way, not a single injury. The Rams are completely healthy as they go to New Orleans. And so Kirkwood is the only other player that's going to miss the game. So it's pretty good as far as the injury front. Overall, that's going to make it fun. As far as the National Football League, Scott Linehan fired as offensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys. This came 4 days after Jason Garrett said he was going to keep Scott Linehan. Sounds to me like Jerry Jones must have intervened in that situation. As far as basketball today, you've got Cal visiting Washington, 2 o'clock game that is one that if they win, which you think Washington should, they're going to be 5-0 in the conference. They're going to be 14-4 overall, and looking right now as the number one team in the Pac-12, of course, game coming up this week against Oregon that'll really start to determine it, but great season for Mike Hopkins and a great season for the Husky basketball team, and those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Joining us right now is Dave Grosby. And Dave, how are you on this nice Saturday?
Doing just great, John. How are you doing this morning?
Good. I don't know. I probably should have gone to the Kansas City game, but I don't know. I think I'm okay. I'm catching up on a bunch of stuff here at home.
There you go. Good man.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. So, it looks like, again, on the Husky front, should be a win today going against Cal. Cal's not all that good. And, of course, then you start gearing things up for Oregon and, where this team is. But, boy, what an amazing turnaround by Mike Hopkins.
Yeah, Cal has lost, 38 of the last 51 games. They're 8-26 last year. They're like 5-12 this year. They haven't won a game in the conference. It would count as one of those trap games for sure, but you hope that Washington is beyond dealing with something like that now, as they've got momentum going their way. And you're right, the Oregon game looms big, and as far as the turnaround goes, I mean it is incredible, and Washington's on the cusp of something else. They are the favorite, and they'll find this out next week. To nail one of the best recruits in the country. One of the guys generally considered out of Oak Hill Academy in Virginia, the best big man in the country. He's considering Duke, Michigan State, schools like that, and Washington. Washington is the favorite to get him because he's out of Rochester and has been recruited by Mike Hopkins for years and years. So Isaiah Stewart is his name, and the Huskies will find out tomorrow if they get him. If they do, then the future is even rosier for Hopkins and the Dogs.
Wow, that's pretty amazing to be in that kind of elite circle to try to get him. And I guess it helped coming from Syracuse, where he knows all the good recruits in the East Coast. But sounds like he's pretty good salesman too to be able to pitch it.
Well, definitely that. And then, like I said, this is a guy he has recruited since he's been in high school. Stewart spoke about Hopkins, who he's had the longest relationship with, who was recruiting him when he's a Syracuse assistant. And like I said, the rarefied air, the other four schools are Kentucky, Syracuse, Michigan State, and Duke. So Washington not normally in that kind of circumstance, but they are tomorrow, and that would be a very, very big, huge day for Hopkins if he's able to nail Washington's first five-star recruit in a long time.
Wow. The fascinating thing is that I know it's early to say this, but the impact of Mike Hopkins sounds to be so similar to what you have with Chris Peterson.
Most definitely. I don't know that Washington's basketball program, they didn't go winless, but they certainly had a last-place season. They've hit the skids. They've had two really bad years in Lorenzo Romar. So the impact has been immediate, and it's been very positive. It's a very apt comparison. Washington basketball and football are as healthy as they've been at the same time in a long time.
And that makes it that's going to be fun to see if particularly if they can land that recruit. And of course, I don't know, how does that change? Because it's funny, it's you see big men and all that stuff, but it's become a small man's game in a lot of ways.
Well, big men play small. I mean, that's the other thing, too. I mean, we saw it with Michael Porter, who is going to be the five-star recruit that's going to play for Washington when he was here in high school, playing at 6'9", 6'10", playing a game facing the basket, shooting three-pointers. I don't know how Isaac Stewart plays, but no, you still, there's still plenty of room for active big men. You know, the DeAndre, I'm forgetting his last name, last year at Arizona was the first pick overall taken in the draft, a seven-footer. So there's always room for a big man, although the game is certainly swung. It's probably better to say that it's moved outside than inside, but big men are playing outside these days. So it does not diminish the value of having a recruit like this. You're still better off with having the best big guys.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, because, again, you can't match up against them, because it's like unless you have the same kind of big guy, then you're going to have a big advantage under the basket.
Absolutely right. So that news is scheduled, expect to come down tomorrow, and it would be a gigantic day for Washington. And they are, by some who do this, recruiting analysts who take a look at this stuff, they're rating Washington as the favorite.
Wow, that's amazing. That's just so much fun. Didn't know about this recruiting part of it, but boy, this does make for a special weekend if they can, you know, get this victory, get to 5-0 in the conference, and then 14-4 overall, and then land a big recruit. Wow.
Yeah, they would have a chance to have their first 5-0 start in the Pac-12 since, I believe, the days of Detlef Schrempf and Company, 83-84. So, a huge weekend in the offing for Washington, but it starts 2 o'clock today. They can't stub their toe. They got to concentrate against Cal, a team that they're definitely better than and should be able to beat.
Well, that'll be great. And, of course, it's going to be a great weekend for football with the championship games. And, again, it's like the health of the teams, I think, are sensational. The offenses are going to be sensational. I think we're in for a wild ride tomorrow.
I hope so. I mean, sometimes you get stuff like this and it looks so good on paper and then it's not. I mean, we did not have a particularly great weekend last weekend. The games were for the most part, not very competitive. With the exception of obviously the New Orleans Philadelphia game, which was a great one. But yeah, you look at this on paper, you look at two close games, you look at the fact that the two teams played early on in the year and both played good games. You got great home field sites, the Superdome in New Orleans hosting the championship game, already a legendary kind of field. And then of course the Kansas City story for the first time in their history. All the AFL years, all the AFC years, first time in their history they've actually hosted a championship game in a stadium that annually battles with CenturyLink to be the loudest in the country. Although there's probably the feeling, since the Saints have won a Super Bowl, there's probably a more confident feeling there. Whereas in Kansas City, I know that it's going to be loud and it's going to be exciting, but there's probably a little bit of hesitation, a little trepidation, A, because of their history in the postseason, and B, because of who they're playing. I mean, that is going to be Tom Brady and the Patriots lining up on the other side. But, you know, you look at some numbers in this one, John, and there's reason for Kansas City to be optimistic. The Patriots were 3-5 on the road this year, and we talked with a guy from New England yesterday who said they really didn't play particularly well in any of those road games. They haven't played a lot of road playoff games, just a couple in the last 10 years or so, but Brady has been ordinary on the road for the most part in his career, 3-4 record, 8 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. And then, as I mentioned, this year, 3-5 on the road. It's the postseason. I understand that. And you're giving Bill Belichick a week to deal with what amounts to a rookie quarterback. Mahomes, not technically a rookie, but basically in his first year as a starter, you figure he has the advantage. But the Patriots, they're slight underdog in this one, and there's a reason for that, and it's a good reason. The Chiefs are playing great, and home field should be an advantage.
No, and it should be. And I think that's going to be obviously the fun part of all this. And, do you suffer, because I know a lot of people do, from Patriot fatigue, the fact that they're there every year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've had enough of them. Can't self-sort the accomplishment of 8 straight years in a championship game. It's unlike anything that the NFL has ever seen or ever will see. I don't see it ever happening again. And, you got to go way back to look at teams that even came close to doing something like this. But, in this day and age, you get tired of seeing them there. Not in every Super Bowl, obviously, but they've been in every championship game from the AFC. The AFC's got to be particularly weary of it because they've just been so dominant in there. And this year, there were signs, like there always are, that, well, maybe this is going to be it. But, by the time the dust clears, they wind up getting their bye. And then Chargers came in with a full head of steam, playing really well. Phillip Rivers eager to get his first win against Tom Brady, et cetera, et cetera. And then the Patriots steamroll them. They don't just beat them. They bury them. And here they are again, one step away from another Super Bowl. This would be their third straight. So, yeah, I definitely have Patriots fatigue, like most people do outside of the New England area.
And that's the thing. I know the travel on the road. That, I mean, again, we're in this trend, and it's like sometimes you wonder, can you beat the trend where 10 consecutive championship games have been played and the home team has won each of those in the last 5 years?
That bodes well for those who are tired of seeing the Patriots, that's for sure. But those trends tend to come to an end as well. I mean, you know, what does that tell me? It tells me that we're due to see a road team win, and it would not be a shock to see both road teams win this weekend.
No, it wouldn't be. But I think it also says, and I think this now translates to the Seahawks, is that, okay, you made the big move, you made the playoffs, you won 10 games, you had a great season, but if you want to start thinking Super Bowl, you have to start thinking about the way to get to 12 wins so you can get the number one or the number two seed.
Right, and that's going to be a real challenge in a division where you got a team that's winning 12, 13 games the past 2 years running. You know, in the Rams, who still appear to be on the upswing as opposed to the downswing, but obviously, you're right, John. And you know, the Chargers won 12 games, didn't get to that home field advantage. So there's no guarantee there either. But yeah, it's certainly momentum to do that.
No doubt, and that's going to be the struggle to do it. But I think they can do it because you know I kind of use the motto of the Chargers. Even though the Chargers didn't get the number one seed, they got to 12 wins. They just lost by a tiebreaker, and maybe that could be the same thing to Seattle because you know trying to catch the Rams, and there's what a 3-game gap right now. But you know the Rams are going to lose some players in free agency because again they've got so many high paid players to try to take care of. And Seattle, if they can just go ahead and you know get some pass rush and get a few more guys on defense, then I think that you make a couple moves on offense and re-sign some guys, then I think they're going to be in good shape.
Well, they should be. They're the third youngest team in football at the end of the season, so they've got a lot of the guys, without even talking about grades in the draft, a lot of the guys they have are guys that you think should be on the improve, guys who should get better this year versus last year, as opposed to having a veteran team that has got a lot of guys peaking. The Seahawks have some key players in that spot, but they're surrounded by young players who all should be getting better with each passing year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're good enough to get to the playoffs this year, pointing it out.
Right, exactly. And again, I know the one story that came out yesterday was the firing of Scott Linehan. Sounds to me like a Jerry Jones overrule of the head coach.
Well, I mean, Jason Garrett has been there for 9 years. I'm sure he's used to it by now. Being embarrassed, saying one thing, and having Jerry Jones counter it a couple days later, who's obviously listening to the fans in Dallas who did not like Linehan this year, and it reminds me a little bit of the Darrell Bevell situation here in Seattle where people blamed him for everything, even though he took the team to 2 Super Bowls. Now, Linehan didn't have the same degree of success, but they did make it to the second round of the playoffs this year and decided it wasn't good enough. That's the problem in Dallas sometimes, and in a lot of places sometimes you get tired of winning, but we'll see who winds up going there. But no, not a surprise that Jerry Jones would overrule Jason Garrett. He's been doing it for years.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. So what's on the schedule for the Groz today?
A little college basketball, and then I'm in an effort to get in better shape. I'm working out with a personal trainer, John.
Are you really? Wow.
I am.
And where do you do this at?
Down in Burien, trying to get healthier.
Well, that's great. Boy, I tell you what, I just wish I could find like 30 minutes to do something. It's like I am so out of shape, it's terrible. But, hey,
well,
I'm proud of you.
Go for a walk, buddy.
There you go. Hey, Dave, thank you. And, of course, talk to you on Monday. It's Bob Groz and Tom, weekdays from 12 into 3 here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Give us a call at 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Bob in Mount Vernon. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, Professor. How are you doing today?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm hanging in there. Hey, I got some questions about the, now that we're done with football here, the draft and how creative Mr. Snyder gets. I know they are running short on picks this year.
They only have 4, correct?
How many times do you think a guesstimate, and I know it's hard to do with these guys sometimes, sitting where they're at, they could probably move down twice to gather a couple of extra picks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they do need an edge rusher, but as in the forecast for the mock drafts, which nobody can really take with a grain of salt except for maybe the top five picks.
Well, I'm doing one for the Washington Post on Monday, so Monday or Tuesday, so give me a little chance.
Okay, no. Yeah. But what I'm saying is most of the ones that I've seen, they're edge rush heavy in the top 16 picks.
Right.
We're talking like 10 edge rushers. That's what we need, but we also need help in the middle. So how about a weird pick in going with Greg Gaines from Washington, and then another curveball, Ben Burkervin and either Taylor Rapp or Byron Murphy. Those guys can be probably picked up either in the second, third, pushing fourth, but
yeah, I think Murphy's going to. I think Murphy's going to. I mean, Byron's going to go in the first round because I think that I have him kind of going right to Philadelphia.
So. Yeah, he's going like the average picks. He's like one or two right before Seattle would be picking.
Yeah.
But I know that they want to get that edge rusher.
Yeah.
But I don't see them getting one.
There's a chance now. You watch them at the Senior Bowl. Sweat, the defensive end, is one that I think they have a chance to get.
That would be great. But the middle help that they need, that they've been people have been developing. But look at Greg Gaines in the middle,
mm-hmm.
just a massive, massive body, who was next to Vita Vea for 3 years, and also, like I said, the back end.
Yeah, see, I don't think they need. I think they're strong at defensive tackle. I really do. I mean, here's where I don't think they have the needs of defensive tackle, because think about this. You know, each week you don't know which defensive tackle is going to be inactive. Is it going to be Puna Ford? Is it going to be Nazir Naz Jones? I mean, so defensive tackle, I don't think they have any problem. They got a Pro Bowl caliber defensive tackle in Jaron Reed.
Yes,
you can see that Naz Jones has good talent. Puna Ford is, you know, I know Pro Football Focus.
I love Puna Ford.
Yeah.
Puna Ford is just a freak.
Yeah, so it's like defensive tackle, I don't think they have any needs for. But, you know, one thing to realize is that even though it's not in that first wave of defensive ends, you know, this team is good at picking cornerbacks and also good at finding some pass rushers that don't necessarily have to be in the top 15. And that's where John Snyder's expertise is going to come in.
Yeah, their talent. I mean, they find people from nowhere. I mean, perfect example, Chris Carson. I'm not even going to go any further. We can just start with.
Right.
So.
Whoops, it looks like you're fading out. Hey, Bob, thank you for the phone call, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Marcus in Monroe. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, John. You know, I've been listening to people analyze these playoff games all week long, and I'm amazed at how little attention has been paid to what I think is one of the most important factors. I mean, we're talking a game changer, and that is the forecast for Kansas City, which is single digits or lower, and the effect that'll have on a 40-year-old guy like Brady, and the effect that'll have on a guy who's been injured often like Gronkowski. I really think the game we're going to see in Kansas City is going to be nothing like what we're thinking on paper.
Okay, but the one change is that the Arctic blast is no longer. It's supposed to be in the 20s, not the single digits.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that at all.
Yeah. Yeah, change
okay, well,
in plans
that's
there.
True.
So.
I think, both teams are used to playing in the 20s, so right. that shouldn't, that really, okay, well, cool. And thanks for the information, buddy.
All right, hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to CJ in Puyallup.
Hey, good morning, John. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hey, terrific. Hey, I just wanted to follow up a little bit on those draft comments that you were talking about earlier, you know, and kind of another thing about coaching. You know, I was really kind of it was intriguing listening to about the Mike McCarthy thing where he got displaced and whatnot, and it really kind of came out that, you know, the team was somewhat, complacent is a good word. I mean,
right.
You know, being good was good enough, but being great was not, you know, what they were trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if there's any, your thoughts, if there's any correlation to that going on in Seattle, you know, especially when, you know, they're, you know, sometimes you kind of need a different coach from time to time with kind of a new mentality. What do you think about that?
Well, not here, because, I mean, I think what you saw is that things started to slip the last couple of years, and so then Pete Carroll shook things up. I mean, brings in six new coaches. He gets six players who were Pro Bowl on defense, and they're no longer there. And look at the camaraderie. Look at how everything regenerated. And look at the platform that's there to now take another Super Bowl run over the next couple of years. So that, I thought, did very well.
Yeah, I see all that. But then, you know, I see them, especially, they were extremely exposed in that last game where they had a game plan. They would not move off of it. They weren't flexible in any way. But, you know, that's my thoughts there. But to loop back kind of to the draft thing there is, you know, Schneider has done fantastic in the later rounds. I mean, seems to be nobody that can dig up the gems out of there like him. But boy, it seems like in the early rounds, it's a completely opposite story.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, what about, so Jermaine Ifedi, you know, still trying to judge, but he had a decent year this year. But certainly you can say that hasn't worked out exactly like a first round pick. But what about Frank Clark in the second round? What about Tyler Lockett in the second round?
Frank Clark has worked out quite well, but he has had a lot of injury and stuff along the way. But, you know, that said, Frank Clark is a real good example, because Malik McDowell was probably, you know, really a lot like Frank Clark in regards to he had some questionable off-the-field issues and stuff that John is willing to take a chance on. I guess what my main point is, you know, in the year that we took Malik McDowell, our absolute greatest need of the team was offensive linemen. There was no secret there, and even the most uneducated Seahawks fan knew that. But yet we went for a defensive edge pass rusher where that was probably one of our least needs. And on that particular draft, that draft had absolute gems. We could have taken Ryan Ramczyk, who went to the Saints, who was a difference maker. We could have taken Cam Robinson, which was a difference maker. But instead, John traded back to get draft picks, which if you look at the other draft pick that he gained from that, we didn't really gain anything from it. So
Wait a second. It's like you don't think Chris Carson's any good?
No, I think Chris Carson.
That was one of the draft choices they got. you don't think Delano Hill and Tedrick Thompson are any good?
Well, I guess that's the thing. I think they've turned out okay, but I think if we look at the big picture though, what did that cost us? We had to give up. Although we didn't solve it in the draft, we had to loop around, take Dwayne Brown and give up two draft picks for it and pay Dwayne Brown a hefty salary where those other people, we would have paid them peanuts for four or five years.
But it worked. They won. They won 10 games. That's what more do you want? It's like
how long is Dwayne Brown going to be serviceable, John? We're going to be back at the offensive lineman well again here in not too long.
Mm-hmm. But remember, they have commitments to the offensive line. First round pick Ifedi, second round pick Britt, second round pick Posick. I mean, that one maybe have not worked out well. But you know, understand that change happens, and no general manager is going to be perfect. But this guy is really good. And you look at these last two drafts, particularly this past draft, sensational. And they're now rebuilding. And sometimes what happens is, you know, when you're drafting, you know, anywhere between 28 and 32. Which this team was, then the chances of hitting things aren't as good, because most teams, when they put a draft board together, they're going to have 12 to 16 first round picks graded. Everything else is going to be in the second round. So you maneuver around and you try to do it. And Snyder has been able to do it sensationally.
Well, he has. And John, you have forgot more football knowledge than I'll ever know. But one thing I do know as an observer and a rabid football fan is. I see those players that I mentioned before, Ramczyk and Robinson and a few others, and some of these teams that have drafted really good players in those early rounds, it's been difference makers for them as far as turning those teams into perpetual losers to spinning them into real contenders.
But see, the problem with Ramczyk is that they drafted Ifedi and moved him to tackle. So it's like you had your tackle, maybe he wasn't the right choice or whatever, you know. And you can't keep drafting offensive linemen too high because you've got to get other positions taken care of.
Yeah, but
So the Malik McDowell didn't work out, but then what do you say about the first round pick in that trade that was involving Seattle and San Francisco that the 49ers got Reuben Foster?
I I think you know that seeking out a undrafted collegiate basketball player, namely George Fant, to be your starting left tackle, that's really a reach.
Well, but understand what was going on is that Tom Cable, he wanted different type of guys. You know, he wanted the athletic type of guys. And I think, you know, things kind of went south a little bit with Tom and some of the things that he did. And so now they've revamped it with Mike Solari, and look at the success.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you say, and I think you understand my point and stuff. I guess my coaching thing and my draft thing kind of correlate together because it probably looks back and points at like a team like the Patriots. To stay up at a really high level where you're competing, not just getting 10 wins, but you're in a thing, you literally cannot make any mistakes at that level. And that's what the teams do that, you know, repeatedly are in that position. But, hey, I super appreciate your time, and your show is fantastic always.
Oh, hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jet in Seattle. Hey, Jet, are your eyes bugging out now after seeing your press conference with your new coach?
John, you know, what are you going to do? such is the way of a Jet fan.
Yes. So what did you think of the first week of Adam Gase?
Well, you know, I think the best thing that happened all week, as we spoke about last week, was they brought in Greg Williams, and I am all about that. I think that was just a tremendous move. I really like what they're going to be doing, hopefully, with defense. And I think it's going to actually help some of the guys that they currently have on their team. But it's also going to be interesting to see how they try to reshuffle the deck with the personnel. And it also may have an interesting effect on, for changing their perspective on the draft. And also it's going to be interesting to see what they do defensively with free agency.
Mm-hmm. No, I would agree with that. I mean, but at least you would have to think that Greg's going to put him in a 4-3, which I think everybody, including the two of us, think it should happen.
Yeah, I got to believe that he's going 4-3. But, you know, it's not as if it's going to be a huge turnaround, I think, to go to a 4-3 from the current personnel packages that they have. Because, you know, as we've been talking about, I mean, they keep drafting defensive tackles. They really have no defensive ends. And what I'm really hoping to see is somebody is finally able to figure out what to do with Darren Lee, because I know their ego drafted him to be a middle linebacker. I know he played in the middles with Ohio State. But the kid just is not big enough to play in the middle. So I'm hoping they'll put him on a weak side, outside linebacker, and take advantage of his speed and, quite frankly, his ability to play in space, because he really isn't a bad coverage linebacker either. So maybe you can get some speed dialed up from the weak side there if you put him in the outside linebacker there.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that would be a smart thing to do. Because again, I mean, you know, that's the game nowadays. I mean, you need as much speed on the field and speed on the weak side, where you don't have to worry about the tight end. I think could be very essential.
Exactly. What's interesting is I'm not sure what they're going to do with Avery Williamson, because I don't know if he actually stacks up as a traditional, Mike linebacker. But the bigger question, the one thing I was going to just kind of throw at you today, is what do you think they're going to do with Leo? He's going into the last year of his rookie contract, which, quite frankly, is pretty fat since he was a sixth-round pick. And, you know, he goes into free agency next year, the following year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think his final year of this rookie contract is right around $14 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And that seems like an awful lot for the production that they really haven't been getting for him. Now, the flip side is what's Greg Williams going to do with him? And could he unlock his value? But the thing you got to remember with Leo is he's only 24 also. He came out early,
mm-hmm.
and it was very young. But, you know, he may be one of the few pieces that could try to get them into the second round of this draft. What's your thoughts on what they might do with Leo?
I think you stay with him. You know, because remember, you think about what was there. I mean, they have Williams, they have Richardson, they have Wilkinson, and even though they didn't get along, I mean, that was pretty talented. But the problem is that, you know, 3-4s. I think in a lot of ways, you know, now with the 4-3. I mean, look at Sheldon Richardson once he got to play in a 4-3 defense, he was better. And then you can see, I just think that, you know, putting Williams as a defensive tackle in a 4-3 defense as a 3 technique, give him a chance. Let him do it.
I'm inclined to agree with you, John. And, you know, we've talked about this years and years ago, but my dream was always that play a 4-3 with Snacks and Richardson, you know, clogging up that middle, because those guys are two big freakish athletes who not just can go front and back, but they've got tremendous lateral movement abilities for guys their size. I really think that team missed the boat by not stacking those two up as a pair of three techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was a huge mistake. And I'm just, it's sad it never happened, because I really thought is that they could have really done a job on, in particular, the Patriots, because, you know, one of the ways to stop Brady is collapse that pocket up the middle. And, man, Snacks and Sheldon definitely could have done that.
Right. Yeah, and that's – so getting – I mean, you know, you got to pay somebody. I mean, that's the one thing. You know, the only – let's put it this way. I would rather keep Williams and build around him as opposed to going out and getting Trumaine Johnson.
That's also going to be interesting, because don't forget, Trumaine Johnson played for Williams in with the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see – what Williams is also going to do with that backfield. And there may be a little bit of rebuilding there. So it's going to be interesting to see what he's going to do with the backfield, perhaps more than up front, because the backfield, I think, really, you know, you're good at safety, but what are you going to do with your cornerback?
Right.
So there's some work that needs to be done there. But Trumaine Johnson had a good year with him with the Rams, so... That may actually
see. I compare him to Spencer Watkins, perpetually overpaid. Or Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, well,
I'm sorry, not Spencer Watkins. Sammy Watkins. They just, you know, it's
Sammy
like,
Watkins.
You know, because they put the two franchise tags on him. It's like, oh, wait a second. He was just second best cornerback on the team at that time, and he gets the franchise tag. It's like, I didn't get that.
No, that was very, very odd, but. You know, what's also going to be interesting, and I think that they should be able to work together, but you've got some pretty strong egos there in that coaching bin, so it's mm-hmm. going to be interesting. But hopefully they can – I don't want to see them go into a situation where you have an us versus them scenario like you had with Rex Ryan, with the defense versus the offense. So, but, you know, obviously Todd Haley and Greg Williams weren't going to work together. But hopefully Williams will work with Gaze, and they'll carve out their niches and be able to work together.
Yeah. If not, his eyes are going to bug out. What do you think of that?
His eyes
bugging out at the press conference.
You know, as long as he's keeping his hat on, I don't really care if he's got three eyes, as long as he wins, baby.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. Hey, Jet, thank you for the phone call.
Take care, John. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Okay. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Irish Menke. Irish Menke, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Clayton.
How are you today?
Oh, fantastic. And I hope you and Mrs. Clayton are wonderful today.
Trying to be, yes.
You know, you do such great work, you know, pulling Jet back off the cliff there.
We try to save
people. With his beloved Jet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know the pain he suffers. I've gone through it in the past. But the past is history, and there's always, as that great, great Irish friend Kermit the Frog says, you can't have rainbows without a little rain.
Okay.
The Irish are having rainbows, Mr. Clayton.
What kind of rainbows are they?
Well, let's just say a 12-0 season wasn't bad.
No.
And
wait a second. There was a loss there that I remember in a playoff game. That was not 12-0. That was 12-1.
Well, I said 12-0 regular season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And you know what? Even that loss was great for the Irish. It got them over that proverbial hump. You know, they know what it's like now. They've tasted the fruits of national championship possibilities, Mr. Clayton.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going to be something special this year. No doubt about it. The Irish are back, Mr. Clayton.
We'll see about that. That's why you need
to get on board.
They did what I thought they did in the playoffs. I thought they were going to lose.
And of course, we were optimistic and always believe,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't. But that's not to say it won, Mr. Clayton.
No, I still...
I've got five great reasons why the Irish will return to the playoffs this year.
Okay.
Number five, their recruiting is outstanding once again. Kelly has gotten in the groove and has put together some outstanding classes over the recent years. He's going to be ranked in the top 10 again, Mr. Clayton.
Okay.
His coaching staff, number four. He hasn't lost any of the key players. As a matter of fact, I think he's only lost one young man off the entire coaching staff because he got a head coaching job at another college. The defense, number three, Mr. Clayton, was ranked 12th last year in the country, and they're pretty much bringing back everybody. And then number two, I mentioned it, they're over the hump now. These young kids know what it's going to take now to make it to the big show.
Well, we'll see.
Believe me, they are hungry. And, of course, number one, Ian Book, Mr. Clayton. He's a senior this year. You know, he didn't start the season till the fourth game of the regular season and still managed to put together some great numbers. His completion percentage is 70%.
Wow.
For a while, you know, he was leading the nation in percentage completion. I think he's number two now. He's back, Mr. Clayton, and they are going to be outstanding. So are you ready to get on board?
Absolutely not, but I got to run.
Mr. Clayton, have a great day.
Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Rashid in Bothell. Hey, Rashid.
Hey, good morning, Professor. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm fine. Professor, I thought maybe you would be going to KC or New Orleans, but I guess you decided to stay in.
I wimped out. New Orleans was going to be too expensive, and a tough flight and all that stuff. And then I looked at that early forecast of the Arctic blast, and I said, you know what? Let me just stay at home, catch up on a few things. So I took the wimp way out.
Yeah. And, Professor, my read on these games tomorrow is that it's actually one thing that's working in KC's favor is their young quarterback who's not seen Brady, like, carrying the house out so many times and stuff. And I felt that when Peyton Manning, always kind of played a little bit under, like, he was under, like, he was overwhelmed by, like, Brady's presence and Belichick's presence, and he never played, he never performed well early in his career and stuff against the Patriots. And I think he's fearless. He played a great game, even though, like, people are saying that it was a cold game and was one of his worst QBRs, but he was in command of that game. So I think his youth might actually be the factor that actually puts KC over the hump. Of course, his talent is supreme as well, but I don't think he'll be in awe of Tom Brady as so many other players have been and stuff. What do you think, sir?
Yeah, I agree. I just think he came on at the right time. He's got all the intangibles that you want, and it's time that somebody was going to be that next quarterback, and he's that next quarterback. And the fact that he's at home and Brady struggles when he's at home or he's on the road, I just think everything plays into favor right now of the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, again, the key stat is that in every game that he's played this year, he's never scored less than 26 points in 17 games. And, you look at the offense of the Patriots on the road with their 3-5 record, they usually score 20 or less points.
And Professor, the biggest stat that I actually didn't think was amazing was Casey gets up 34 points on the road, but only 17 at home. Mm-hmm. That's like, I mean, your defense is like they're playing with 11 different players on at home.
Right.
You know?
Well, and then the other thing is their ability to have the fast start.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you look at their numbers, I mean, Bill Belichick was the one that brought this up. You know, they end up getting, you know, plus 91 in the first quarter.
Yeah. And, Professor, a couple of more questions. One was which quarterback you think, if they win the Super Bowl, is not likely to return next year, Brady or Brees?
I think they're both back. I don't think there's going to be any change.
Oh, they both come back because Brady. I don't know. He doesn't age, so I've
no.
I've
he refuses to. There's no way he's getting out of it.
Yeah, but Breeze's arm in the last. I don't know if there was an injury or something, but post like after that game against Dallas on the Thursday night,
mm-hmm.
his arm strength has been like pretty much suspect on long balls and stuff. But he's still like amazing, like between the 17 to 20 yard throws and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He's mighty accurate and stuff. So you think both of them come back and stuff?
Yes.
And that'll be great for the game. I mean, I love both. I mean, as much as people hate Brady and stuff and Belichick, but what they are doing is just nothing short of amazing. As a football fan, it's such a privilege to watch, like in your lifetime, you know, I mean, to see like these masters at work. And it's amazing. But, Professor, my last question was, I was looking at these drafts and stuff, and we've missed out on some local talent in the last couple of years, like Cooper Kupp and, like, Ebukam is a great player as well. So do you think, our local scouts are not doing their job? And stuff?
No.
And those are drafted in the fourth and the fifth round and stuff. I mean, of course, Cooper Kupp was drafted a little bit ahead of Amara Darbo, but we could have had a little bit better play on these players.
Rashid, you look at the ultimate results, okay? You know, they've drafted well. They had a little bit of a spell that they may have not had a couple years where it just didn't work out, and a couple of those years were bad draft years. So you look at the whole body of work. I mean, they turned around what would be a two-year process in 1 year.
Yes.
And look at the drafts that they have. I can't fault them one bit.
And Professor, just one last. What's the update on Jamarco Jones and Will Disley? Do you think they'll be ready for training camp?
I think Disley will. There's no question Jones will be. And that, I know that they like him a lot. They think he's going to be a pretty good player.
I thought he's really great. But thanks a lot, Professor. Enjoy the game.
All right, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Hey, everyone knows Evergreen Chevrolet and Evergreen Ford have the best deals on new Chevys and Fords. But Dan, during the giant used car sale, your Chevy and Ford lots are packed with over 250 Eastside trades.
Like Range Rovers, Audis, BMWs, Teslas, Fords, Chevys, Lincolns, Toyota, Hondas, and Acuras.
Yeah, Evergreen has over 50 cars under $99.95, like an 07 Chevy Tahoe. Over 40 cars under $79.95, like a 2010 Camry SE. Over 20 cars under $59.95, like an 07 3 Series Beamer. They even have a few under $19.95.
Come to Evergreen Chevrolet or Evergreen Ford today, because a giant used car sale only happens 1 month a year. And when these Eastside trades are gone, they're gone. Always more, always for less. Evergreen Chevrolet and Evergreen Ford. Or as always, exit 15, I-90 Issaquah.
Sale ends 1/31/19. Negotiable dock service fee of $150 may be added to purchase price. VINs posted at dealerships. See dealer for details.
Give me Evergreen until I die.
Kids, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids, 1-877 Cars for Kids, donate your car today, 1-877 Cars for Kids, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids, 1-877 Cars for Kids, donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, visit us online at carsforkids.com. Remember, that's Cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
877 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
It's all about the Benjamins this January at the Q. Nine players every Tuesday will be drawn to pocket big cash, up to $5,000. Find all the details at QCCCasino.com.
Baseball fans, plan your spring break this year with a fun and relaxing getaway with your Seattle Mariners. The Peoria Sports Complex in sunny Arizona is the place to be this spring as the Mariners gear up for their 2019 campaign. Come enjoy the great weather, delicious food, and cold craft beers from local Pacific Northwest breweries in Seattle's home away from home. Make your plans to join the Mariners at the Peoria Sports Complex. For tickets, visit springtraininginpeoria.com.
Fast is the nation's largest gig speed network. Beyond Fast is starting the new year right. Switch to Comcast Business and get any internet speed and add voice for just $24.95 more per month for 2 years. Call 1-800-501-6000 or visit ComcastBusiness.com and learn how we can help your business go beyond fast this year. Plus, every day in January, you can also enter for a chance to win $10,000 in the Comcast Business Fast Start event. Think of what you could do with 10 grand. Buy new devices for your sales team, upgrade your Wi-Fi network, finally replace that conference calling system. Visit ComcastBusiness10ksweeps.com and enter for your chance to win. Comcast Business, beyond fast.
No purchase necessary. Ends on 1/31/19. Open to legal residents of the 50 U.S. and D.C. who are legal age of majority and at least 18 as of date of entry. For official rules, visit ComcastBusiness10ksweeps.com/official-rules. Offer ends 1/31/19. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Limited to one voice line and available only to new Comcast Business customers. Early termination fee applies. Requires Comcast Business Internet. Additional monthly charge, equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change.
Bonneville International Radio Station contests are open to participants at least 18 years of age and older that are residents of Washington State unless otherwise specified. Employees or agents of the station, Bonneville International Corporation, other area radio stations, or any entity associated with the contest are not eligible to win unless the station otherwise specifies in its own discretion. Persons who have won in the last 60 days from a station contest or event may not be eligible. Full general contest rules are available at 710sports.com/win or in person at the station during regular business hours.
Schooled with the professor. A football-only podcast hosted by John Clayton, going deeper into the NFL with exclusive interviews of coaches, players, and NFL personnel.
Pleased to be joined by Brandon Marshall.
Kurt Warner, former running back.
Very pleased to be joined by Wade Phillips.
The behind-the-scenes access from the NFL's most experienced journalist. The stories behind some of the biggest names in NFL history. Download the latest episode at 710sports.com/schooled. KIRO AM Seattle. KIRO FM HD2 Tacoma. 710 ESPN Seattle. The voice of Seattle sports. This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Load up the phone lines. We're here till 11:30. Washington State basketball will be pregame starting at 11:30. And, of course, we'll be back on Monday. But let's go to Commando Dave. Dave, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. What's up, John Clayton?
How's it going?
Man, it's always good to be on 710 ESPN with the professor, especially on a conference championship weekend. But before I bring it to the show, let me give a shout-out to the memory and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., whose 90th birthday we celebrate this Monday, the day after the best Final Four in sports is played. You know, making the NFL playoffs is one thing. Getting to the conference championship is another. And I don't believe we've ever witnessed two title games quite like these, each featuring a wily veteran Super Bowl MVP versus a young whippersnapper at quarterback. Have we, John Clayton?
No, there's so many unique things about this one. I mean, that's what I really love about it. I mean, you have the four highest scoring offenses in the league, four of the best play callers in the league, four really good offensive lines, good receiving corps. I mean, there's so many things that are positive.
Yeah, no kidding. And what a unique combination of possible Super Bowl matchups. Of course, there's the new versus new Super Bowl with the Saints and the Patriots and the two gunslinging veteran quarterbacks. But a young gun Super Bowl with the Chiefs and Rams and a possible repeat of the Week 11 Monday Night Madden football game would be good. But I got to tell you, John Clayton, from a bring-it-home full circle, karma is a B perspective. A Slay the Dragon Super Bowl 36 rematch would just be fitting because it was the Rams, as you know, John Clayton, that unleashed this dreadful two-decade-long Patriots scourge on the NFL when the greatest show on turf folded up the Big Ten in the big game and only scored 17 points despite being the first team in NFL history to score 500 or more in three consecutive seasons. So if a Rams-Patriot matchup, John Clayton, could play out in the manner of the last hurrah, with the Rams throwing a Larry Holmes jab in the Patriots' face all day long, it would just be delightful, don't you think?
You would think so, yeah. I think that would be a great way to end it all. I mean, but the, so now the thing is, are you willing to have change now? I mean, again, the fact that it's been since 2001, the Patriots have absolutely dominated five Super Bowls and all those five Super Bowl wins. Is it time now to move on?
The only way you can move on is, this is competition, so you move on by beating the champ. That's why I kind of threw it out there in that last hurrah when Larry Holmes, he was the champ, of course, but he really beat the greatest, the champ, Muhammad Ali, in a fashion that was just hard to watch. So to be the champ, you have to beat the champ. And so whoever that is, if it's the Chiefs, more power to them. Let's bring it on. If it's in the Super Bowl, I hope it's either the one of the NFC teams, of course. And so that's how it has to go.
Yeah, no. I just, again, it'd be a different story if the game were in Foxborough. I mean, it had Indianapolis beaten the Kansas City Chiefs, and all of a sudden you're looking to Boston, you're looking to Foxborough, then I would say it's going to be the Patriots. But now I just think in Kansas City, with and where everybody rips Andy Reid for not winning the big games and all that stuff,
right.
He's never had a quarterback, you know, as a head coach. He had Brett Favre, you know, coached him up a little bit in Green Bay, but he's never had a head coach or a quarterback as good as this.
Right. And if it was in Foxborough, then, of course, they could get the tuck rule to come into play for them. In any event, John Clayton, tomorrow should be a great day of football as we inch closer to Super Bowl 53. Glad you're home for it, buddy. Glad I don't have to say safe travels, John Clayton, and my best to Mrs. Clayton. Go Andy Reid. Go Sean Payton. Talk to you, John Clayton.
All right, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Again, here to let's go to Victor in Auburn. Hey, Victor.
Hey, John, another great show.
Great. How we do on Sirius this week?
Yeah, excellent, bud. Excellent. That's what I was, when I mentioned the drinking game, I mentioned, I know for a while you were doing 866 instead of 877
numbers. It kind of gets into your skin. It's like you almost don't even have to think about it. It's almost like an athlete that you're trying to, you know, make a move and you don't think about it. But, yeah, so I had to clear that up a little bit.
Muscle memory.
Exactly.
That's where I was going to start taking shots, but you figured out. Hey, was Mike Munchak, I know Elway, you know, signed off on the deal, but did the Fangio have any say so in that?
My guess is no. I think this was all John Elway. I mean, I'm sure that they consulted and did that and say, you have any problem with Munchak being your old line coach? And it goes, no. think that'll work.
Okay, so does it happen often where they hire a head coach and he doesn't really have the especially since Fangio hasn't been a head coach.
Right.
And now he's taking a shot at being the coach. He didn't hire the offense coordinator, didn't have that much of a say so. Is that happen?
Well, I mean, he has a say-so in some things. Like, for example, he wanted to bring Ed Donatell from Chicago. He did. And, you know, because they're kind of tied at the hip because they've now been at several places together. And but, you know how John is. I mean, you know, remember, this was a battle between, you know, Munchak for the head coaching job and Vic Fangio. They were the final two. And I think to be able to land both is a major piece of success for John Elway. And, you know, because, you know, one of the reasons that Gary Kubiak isn't there is because, you know, he wouldn't let him take back Rick Dennison and one of the tight end coach. And so
yeah.
Kubiak ended up going to Minnesota.
Yeah. We needed some new blood in there on the offensive line. So I don't remember the coaching wise, because I don't remember Dennison ever doing too much to progress the offense, the line in their blocking ability. And Denver's had a Achilles heel at that offensive line for a while. And then one other quick question. I know they're stocked up at young wide receivers. Now, do you think if they draft a quarterback or not, do you think they shift the focus on the draft to the defense, or is it going to be, again, a best available player like John likes to do?
Probably be best available player, because, you know, certainly it's got to be an emphasis on the offensive line. But then I think, you know, getting Munchak, you don't have to necessarily throw first-round picks at him to be successful. So I think, you know, in a draft like this where it's going to be pretty much defense and they are pretty well set at running back and wide receiver, that, you know, that's where they probably make their move. So I kind of lean toward them trying to go ahead and just taking best athlete available.
All right. Do you think they're going to re-sign Paradis, or do you think he'll be asking for too much money?
I think they have to re-sign him. I mean, he's a good center. I mean, it's going to cost probably $9 to $10 million, and I think they had to fork it up.
All right, John. Hey, you take care, bud. Any fears this week?
Not this week. Nothing scheduled. But again, it's always last minute sometimes. I didn't know until Tuesday that I was doing it on Thursday.
I always do a check around 12:05 to see if you're on, and then both shows are good, but when you're on it, you take it to another level, bud. All right,
appreciate
take care.
That. Thank you so much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jerry in Bothell. Hey, Jerry.
Morning, John, first-time caller.
Well, thank you.
Hey, I was wondering if you knew what happened with the Richard Sherman self-negotiated performance-based contract.
He got none of it. I mean, he got the $9 million, basically. So he did not hit any of the incentives, because, you know, part of it was going to be play time, part of it was going to be going to the Pro Bowl. And, you know, on a team that's only going to – the second worst team in football, you know, that wasn't going to happen. So, you know, he didn't hit any of the incentives. But, again, he likes the situation there. I think he's valuable for the team, and then he'll go at it next year.
All right. I appreciate the update. Thanks.
Okay. Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Give us a call here. Let's go to Richard in North Seattle. Hey, Richard.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
First-time caller also.
Well, thank you.
John, excellent show. I've really enjoyed listening on Saturday mornings.
Oh,
John, the reason for my call is I was wondering, I read the recent issue in Sports Illustrated about an update on Marv Marinovich and Todd Marinovich,
mm-hmm.
and I realize that might not be familiar to younger listeners, but I was real curious, John, one, if you'd seen the article, and two, if during your career you had interviewed either one of those people.
Yeah, I mean, I did not. I didn't read the interview. I saw it. Understand how good it was. I interviewed Todd, but I've never interviewed his father. You know, his father was, as it's, I'm sure it said in the article, was kind of a disciplinarian, and of course, in some ways, I guess you could see the way that Todd was, he kind of rebelled because, you know, forced to eat what he probably didn't want to eat because he wanted to stay healthy and all that stuff. Then he had some drug issues and all that stuff. I'm sure the story was good, but I've interviewed Todd when he was down with Oakland.
Well, actually, John, I think the article portrays Marv not just as a disciplinarian, but as a monster. And not only a monster, but somebody who got what he deserved. If you can imagine being an old man with Alzheimer's and not knowing, you know, what end is up, that's what happened to Marv. And I think that to me was sort of a fitting result from reading the article about how...
I hate to have that happen to anybody. I don't, it's like...
Well, just about... about how he had beaten his son, destroyed his family for his own personal needs. And
mm-hmm.
that's why I can recommend the article, because I thought it was very interesting.
Oh, it's a good, very
like
I'm
I said,
sure
John,
it's a good
I was just
article.
Curious what your, maybe the other thing to add is, what was your impression from having interviewed Todd back in the day?
Yeah, I guess the biggest thing with him is that, he just was so different. And I think, you know, the way he grew up made him so different. And, you know, I think his concentration level wasn't as strong as it should be. And, you know, he had the talent, you know, and again, it's so strange because, again, it's so rare now to see a left-handed quarterback. And of course, he was a left-handed quarterback. You know, he didn't have a lot of arm strength and all that stuff. But, you know, clearly first round talent that just never lived up to expectations.
I appreciate your comments, John. And like I said earlier, an excellent show. Look forward to it every Saturday.
Hey, great. Thank you so much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, The John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
Our thanks to Matt Nelson for producing the show. Our thanks to Matt Nelson for running the show. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Brad in Linwood. Hey, Brad.
Hey, good afternoon, Professor Clayton. Thanks.
Good afternoon to you.
I just have a couple things. Lifelong Chiefs fan, born in Kansas City, been in Seattle for 20 years. I was at that last home game that Montana won back in 93, and I can't tell you how excited this feels right now.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to temper that, obviously, because we're going against the GOAT, and I just want to get your input on Brett Veach and how he assembled this team and going forward, how we're going to improve, because this defense is really coming up strong. Is it going to continue?
Yeah, I'm not sold that the defense is coming up strong yet. I mean, it's got a good pass rush and had a good game last week, but that's where they're going to have to work more. I mean, they've depleted the secondary, particularly at cornerback, and that's, I think, the biggest thing that they've got to fix up. But overall, I think this is going to be the year. I think this is the one now where they're home. You know, they've got the great quarterback. You know, they've got the offense. It's just sensational. And I think they match up well against the Patriots. I think, you know, as was brought up, I mean, what of the four games that the Chiefs have played the Patriots of late with Andy Reid, you know, they've been able to score more than 40 points. Not that they're going to do that tomorrow, but I think if it's going to be a scoring fest, it favors Kansas City.
Well, I definitely tend to agree that, and obviously I'm feeling a little biased with that by being a Chiefs fan, but I love your input on that. What about our secondary? Are we going to be able to hold up against some of those passing routes and keep Edelman in check?
Yeah, because I think what it comes down to is that it's not like Tom's going to be, you know, firing the ball downfield all that much. I mean, again, that's not his game. I mean, it's kind of like slowly moving the offense and slowly getting it to the running backs and the slot receivers and all that. And I think that they can come up with a pretty good game plan to kind of contain that. And again, the fact that the Patriots on the road, that makes it tough.
Well, I agree with that, but I got to say I love how Chris Jones has come up strong, and I love that
great.
Houston's back. In this
they got three great pass rushers, no question. Hey, Brad, thank you for the phone call. Let's go to Mike in Tacoma. Hey, Mike.
Hey, morning, Mr. Hall of Famer.
How are you?
Hey, I was wondering, can you explain how many of those future signees can you have? Like, you know, when they can sign them in March?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unlimited because, you know, you can have up to 90 players on your roster. And, like, for example, Seattle right now, they're only, like, at about 36. So,
okay.
Because, for example, and again, you don't want to sign too many because, again, most of them aren't going to make the team. But, you know, like Pittsburgh's already signed 15. I think Carolina's signed 13.
And most of them aren't they usually offense or defense linemen? I mean, they're trying to go through and pick some out for later, but... Can you explain?
But most of it is you re-sign the 10 guys on your practice squad, and then you pick a few guys off, you know, like Paxton Lynch and guys that are on the street.
And can you explain the different tags and how the Seahawks might use them this year?
Well, really, I mean, the franchise tag is one where you have to pay the top five salaries of the, you know, the average of the top five salaries over 5 years to at defensive end if you're doing Frank Clark. The transition tag would give him the ability to negotiate, but again, you don't want that to happen because then you can only match the offer and you may not be able, you want to negotiate it. So that one doesn't work. But the big thing is that you have the franchise tag and you can use it to keep Frank Clark for at least 1 year.
Well, what was the one where they lost the one offensive line?
Yeah, you're talking about Steve Hutchinson. What happened? They put the transition tag on.
Yeah, the
and then what happened?
Tag.
The Vikings signed him, and they put a poison pill in there saying that, you know, he had to be the highest paid player on the team. And so that, with Walter Jones there, that became a problem. And so, you know, they couldn't match. And that's the problem of doing the transition tag. And now they've taken away those poison pills, but still you're not negotiating it. So then, you know, you might get something there that you don't like. Hey, thank you
will
for the phone call.
Will they have a transition tag on somebody this year?
What's that? No, I don't think there was a transition this year. You know, because again, there's usually going to be maybe one a year. Hey, thank you for the phone call. Let's go to Sean in Seattle. Hey, Sean. Is Sean in Seattle not there? Then go to Brian in Redmond.
Hello, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I had a question for you. Do you think that Russell Wilson needs a good running game to consistently win?
It sure helps. Now, let's put it this way.
Yeah.
You look at all four teams in the championship round, they all have good running games. It's important. Again, you can still be a passing team, but you have to have the ability to have balance, because if you're just going to be a passing team, then you know you may not win the battle of time of possession, and then if a few things go wrong, you get your quarterback hurt.
Right. Do you think he's unique, that he needs it more than other top quarterbacks?
No. I mean, let's put it this way. I mean, 2 years ago, without a running game, he made the playoffs.
That's true.
So, no, I mean, he's one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. You know, the more you surround him with a running game, the better it can be for him, because it takes some of the pressure off him. And you can see that, because look at the product. I mean, everybody was complaining about, oh, too much running, too much running. They scored 30 points a game in the final eight games of the season.
Yeah, yeah. My other question was, do you think that if they drafted a quarterback, they haven't drafted a quarterback since they drafted Russell Wilson, it would put some more pressure on Russell Wilson to maybe take less on a contract?
No. It's not going to affect him one bit, because whoever they draft is not beating him out. That would be like saying, okay, you took Ryan Mallett and you took, Jimmy Garoppolo, and you know Tom Brady's fearful now that's going to be taking his job away. You're not taking a job away from a top five quarterback.
Right. Do you think they should draft
a
quarterback this year?
No, because they only have four draft choices. They got to use it on positions.
Yeah.
They took a chance now on Paxton Lynch. We'll see if they get Brett Huntley back. So no, do not use a draft choice on a quarterback, particularly in this year's draft.
I see. Okay, well, thanks for answering my questions.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Larry in Ballard. Hey, Larry.
Hey, John. Thanks for squeezing my call, and I know it's near the end of your show.
Yeah.
John, I'm wondering if you have some insight into what the Hawks will do with K.J. Wright. I can see both sides of the equation, but I'm wondering if you have some insight.
I think it's safe to say that he's gone, and the reason for that is
really?
That the – it's going to cost $10-11 million to keep him. I mean, NFL, whether you agree with it or not, the NFL.com came out and had him like 19th or 18th among free agents, which really, when you take away half that number, because again, they're going to get franchised or re-signed, then, he's going to be, top 13, product or top 10 product in free agency. And so because of that, I mean, they can't afford him.
Where will they go for that to replace him?
They drafted Shaquem Griffin. I don't know if he's going to be the answer. You know, maybe in April, if he's not going to be in jail, they can go ahead and try to bring back Michael Kendricks. And my guess is that look in the street to see if anything's out there. If not, you draft one.
Fair enough. Thanks, John.
Hey, thank you. And again, thank everybody for being on the show. We'll be back on Monday at 10 o'clock. Coming up next is going to be Washington State basketball as we get the pregame, and then the game's going to be at 12. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.